Jesus said, "And on the third day, I shall finish my work." We're still on the way towards that third day. This is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we are at that stage in Lent's journey where we recognize Jesus making the irrevocable decision to go to Jerusalem. Undoubtedly, this Sunday was chosen as Mothering Sunday so that people would be encouraged to go back home to their mother church and, of course, to their family to join in that closer family that Jesus introduces us to. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says, "He made up his mind and set out on his way." Jesus made many hard decisions during this time of Lent, and this was possibly the first step towards the hardest of all. If there was any doubt about what awaited him in Jerusalem, several warnings were given, and one such is this warning about Herod. Of course, it might have been simply a way of persuading Jesus to leave town because he wasn't actually popular everywhere he went. He rubbed some people up the wrong way. He pointed out their weaknesses. He showed them up. So he wasn't always popular with the local establishment, and there might well have been folk who wished him good riddance. "Well, this is an interesting way of doing it. Herod's after you on your bike." Herod undoubtedly had evil designs on Jesus' life. After all, he had already executed his cousin John the Baptist. Stories that Herod would be bound to hear about Jesus would make clear that beheading another radical preacher hadn't put an end to the cause of prophetic opposition. An undercurrent of rest was always there, continuing to bubble under the surface in Herod's kingdom. So, to take his work to Jerusalem, the capital city, the center of Jewish worship, and the seat of the occupying power, would expose Jesus to great danger. He makes clear, though, very clear, that Herod holds no fear for him. When he calls Herod a fox, he is insulting him. Now, we think a fox might be dangerous because the animal is cunning, wily, and manipulative. A fox is portrayed in literature as a con artist, as in the stories of Aesop, or the one about the fox and the crow that I remember so vividly from my granny's biscuit tin. We can see foxes nearly every day without having to look very hard. They might be rummaging in your bins or cavorting around your gardens. They might be advertising bingo on TV. Do they still do that? Or they might be in some cartoon or other. And we all remember Brer Fox from the politically less correct Uncle Remus stories. But foxes aren't really too threatening. They're too familiar. Suspicious, maybe, but they have the fascination of a lovable villain, don't they? Of course, thinking about Herod, we're also reminded about the expression of the fox being in charge of the hen house. And we've got a picture of the hen and chickens, which came out very well on the order of service today. I like that picture. Took a while to find. The other one is of an ancient mosaic, which has got a halo round the hen. Makes it look like a bit like a Christmas turkey advert. But it's a very nice picture, but that's the best version of it I could get. So is Herod going to be the fox in charge of the hen house as far as the Romans are concerned? In Jesus' time, And in Jesus' view, the one that we have heard in our text, a fox was a creature of insignificance. The rabbis in those days often taught by stories that featured foxes as examples of criminal behavior and of little account compared to, say, lions. Lions are seriously threatening and strong, and they too are cunning. Historically, then, lions and foxes were images of comparison between greater and lesser powers. In calling Herod a fox, Jesus is pointing to Herod as a lesser man, a lesser ruler, a lesser person, incapable of carrying out a threat. Well, maybe on his own. What Jesus is saying is the equivalent of saying Herod is a weakling, small fry, a clown, or a jackass. Herod sees himself as a lion, and Jesus cuts him down to size, and he has let any of Herod's supporters know exactly what he thinks of him. He continues in an ironic way to make the comment about Jerusalem being the place for killing prophets. So that's where he will make his destination. And that is where he will fulfill his destiny. And this is where a special and especially moving passage appears in our scripture. Somehow we have to understand the vital importance of Jerusalem to any and every Jew, sacred to Judaism for, what, 3,000 years more? More. And still in international terms for today's world of uncertain alliances and imbalances of power, Jerusalem still counts for much, as we know. In his history, Israel and the Nations, the scholar F.F. Bruce writes about the recognition of Jerusalem as the holy city, the holiest place, the spiritual center of the nation united under King David, combining the thrones of Israel and Judah and the throne of the iconic king-priest Melchizedek. The holy city. It was and is still the focus of prayer and aspiration for the faithful. And of course, it is also sacred to Islam. Bruce mentions the extraordinary way in which the names of Zion and Jerusalem entered the religious language of Christianity. As symbols of the church, militant and triumphant, and of the heavenly home of the people of God, the New Jerusalem of Revelation. It is very evident that the holy city held a special place in Jesus' affection, as it did in his life. He made pilgrimages there regularly. He went to his Father's house. So, this Mothering Sunday, it is appropriate to look at the language in which Jesus speaks of the place, just as we recognize the place he would embrace, just as we recognize it's the place that he knows will be bad for him. He would embrace the city and its people in his arms with a mother's care. Strange as it may seem, this figure of speech is so well known that hardly any commentaries mention it in detail. And the detail is that the point is not about a brood of hen and chicks, but it's about a bird, a mother bird. The word that we translate as hen is not the word for a domestic hen as depicted on the order of service. It's a bird, ornis, from which we get ornithology. It's the mother bird who protects her chickens. It could be any kind of bird. Now, having watched with fascination in recent years that program about the penguins, and, well, I think there were three programs about penguins. There was a film called The March of the Penguins, which illustrated quite a lot about the bird being a parent rather than a hen, because the penguins, as you know, play a part in raising their young and looking after their eggs, and the chaps stay behind and look after the eggs while the mothers go away to feed. Isn't that right? The Gospel Greek gets to the motherhood by using the pronoun for her when it talks to the brood and the parent bird. But I feel encouraged always to think of God as a parent rather than a father or a mother. One who combines in his being the best parental qualities that we can think of. When Herod is portrayed as a fox, it suits us to set that against the image of the hen and the chickens. But it's actually the parental protective image that is supreme here. That's what Jesus is thinking of. And I'm sure he had in his mind the prophet Hosea. There's no doubt about how much Jesus knew about the prophets. Hosea chapter 11. The Lord says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called him out of Egypt as my son. I was the one who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and fed them." Here we have an amazing portrayal of the love of God for his world, for his family, and his people. God wants to gather us under the protection of his or her wings, providing warmth and shelter, security, assurance, comfort, all that we might see in the cozy nest prepared with love. The hug of the parent will welcome us as it did the returning prodigal son. The commitment of Jesus as he goes to Jerusalem also shows the persistent love of the parent, like that of the father on the lookout for that sorry figure on the horizon. In his sadness, as he looks out, is the promise of grace. And God has sent prophet after prophet, not just to the world, but to Jerusalem, to that city, never giving up in the face of their rejection. And now Jesus is showing that he sees himself in their succession, willing to be the next of God's messengers, standing at the gates once more, willing. God is indeed the parent who never gives up, the one we can surely trust. May we learn to follow Jesus in the trust that he shows as he continues to fulfill his destiny. Amen.